Michigan Wolverines traveling to East Lansing. Both teams unbeaten. Look, you can't have it any better than this in the state of Michigan. Two heavyweights collide. Big noon kickoff on Fox. I know Spartan fans are not thrilled about that, but look, this is going to be a great game. Let's dive into it right now. Look, Michigan State, big play capability written all over it. Jaden Reed, Jalen Naylor at the wide receiver position. Trey Mosley's been really well. Kenneth Walker, of course, has been the stud. Heisman hopeful. Peyton Thorne's been a really, really good quarterback. Great at times this year. Michigan State's offense has scary written all over it. They're scary. They can take the lid off the top, however you wanted to say it. It's a very good offense. Offensive line, I have some questions. We'll talk about that later, especially against a front seven like Michigan's. That is very, very good. You can throw out all the numbers. You can throw out all the stats. Pro Football Focus said, look, I don't care. When these two teams line up, it's never going to change. Who's the most physical? Who runs the ball well? And yes, who's going to make the bigger plays? I love it. I love this game this year. I think both teams are really good. I think we're going to find out. Look, this is just a prediction. I know Tyler and I are going to be on trouble with the Snap a little bit this week, or he'll be solo with all of his shows that he does with Spartan players, which, look, I try to stay out of it lately. It's hate week. But look, let me just get right to it. I think the biggest matchup for sure next weekend is Michigan State's offense versus Michigan's defense. I think that's obvious. I think we're all looking to see what this Michigan State offense can do against Michigan. We've seen what they did against Indiana. Indiana, there's some similarities there. They're a very physical defense. I mean, they got pounded by Ohio State, obviously, which that's a different story. But Indiana won the point of attack a lot. They got to Peyton Thorne a couple times. They were able to put pressure on. They didn't allow any big plays. Their corners played amazing in that game. They gave no room. Something that I don't think Michigan will do. I think it'll be still more zone coverage, but I do think they'll provide the same amount of pressure on the quarterback that Indiana did, or even better. This is a very challenging game for Michigan State's offense. They have not seen a defense like this yet with the athletes Michigan has. Now, they've seen Indiana. I mean, Indiana and Nebraska are the two teams they've faced that athletically and physically could match up. And both those games, what we've seen was a Michigan State offense that had a lot of problems. They struggled. You know, going into, if you go back to the Nebraska game, which, look, I in my opinion, guys, I'm just going to throw it all out there. It's Ohio State and everybody else. At this point, on any given Saturday, certain teams can beat others in this conference. You know, that's just how even it is. Perfect example. Illinois went to Penn State. They played a little better. Penn State played like trash. Illinois wins the game in 9 overtimes. Illinois is not a great football team, but Penn State really isn't either. You know, Penn State is a team that is super athletic and talented, but something's missing there. They're just not clicking at times. It could be team chemistry. There's a lot of things with these other teams besides Ohio State that they just can't afford to have certain things go on. Like, you got to have great chemistry. You got to have a great attitude if you're a Michigan football team. They have that this year. You know, they said the culture was better. It matters. Every team, again, besides Ohio State, has to put it all together. They got to play solid on the run game. They got to make sure they don't give up big plays. And the bottom line is, in a Michigan State versus Michigan game, I look at Indiana and Nebraska as my comparison. Whereas I look at their athletes and I say Michigan has the same type of athletes in some areas and they might have a couple better athletes in others. So Michigan State's offense is going to have a lot of problems with that. It's just something they haven't seen yet. And when they did see something similar, they really struggled. So I can only go by that. I can't, look, Michigan State could come out Saturday and change that whole narrative and say, nope. We just played a little bad in some areas in that game. We fixed that in the bye week, and this offense is going to be on fire, and they might drop 35-plus. I mean, you don't know, but I can only go by what I've seen. Michigan State really, really struggled against Nebraska and Indiana offensively at times. When they got to the red zone, they didn't really know what to do. You know, it was 20-13, guys, against Nebraska until Nebraska punted, and everyone ran the wrong way, and Michigan State scored on a punt return. Let's not forget that, you know, they didn't score 20-plus because of their offense. Jaden Reed takes the top off with a punt return because everybody on Nebraska's team went the wrong way. That's not going to happen in this game. Michigan is very good on special teams. They're extremely talented. It's just not going to go. So right now on this pod, this is more why I think Michigan will win. And I'll talk about why I think Michigan State will win. So it's both ways, because this is a coin flip game. It always is. But I think the reasons why Michigan could win, we'll say, is their defense is going to get after Thorne. He's going to have a hard time with that pressure. Kenneth Walker is not going to be able to run wild on Michigan's defense. It's just not going to happen. They stay in their lanes. They're physical. Their front seven is incredible. It's going to come down to will Peyton Thorne be able to make a couple big throws and they go for touchdowns. If they're going to throw 5, 6, 7 yards at a time, they ain't going to win. That might work getting you down the field, but that's going to be field goals. Michigan State cannot afford to have field goals. This offense clicks when they have big play touchdowns. That's what they are. That's what they've been from day one. When they got to move down the field and get a couple yards at a time, that's just not who they are. Michigan's that way. Michigan State is not. They need to hit you with the big play, the flea flickers, the deep ball to Reed, Naylor, double moves, all that. That's who Michigan State is, and I don't think they will get that against Michigan. I think it will look a lot like Indiana, not the 5 straight possessions of free and out or whatever it was. Not that. I think Michigan State will definitely move the ball better at home. But if they don't have big plays, they're not going to win. They have to have big plays. That's who they are. And they're not physical enough on that offensive line to just move Michigan down the field. It's just not what it's going to be. It's going to be, we have got to move the ball through the air. Short passes may be a first. And then we got to hit them with the big play. And that might be able to open things up where we can run a little better and get Kenneth Walker as close to 100 yards as possible. I mean, that's probably the thinking for Michigan State people. Let's hit them with a few big plays deep, and then we can start adding a little bit of the run game. If they go to the run game first with Kenneth Walker, Michigan will be ready. They'll be ready for it, no matter who the coordinator is at Michigan. I swear I've seen this for years. You're not going to just bully them, unless you're Ohio State. You're not going to just bully them down the field. You know, this is a tough, physical front seven. This is that old school with Lloyd Carr had these groups, right? Tough, physical front seven. It's going to be a bear to push these guys around. Good luck. You know, Wisconsin's seen that. Wisconsin's huge, guys. They're massive. Michigan just threw them all around the field in Madison. You know, Wisconsin's not a great team this year, but they're a very strong team on both sides. And Michigan just treated them like they were little kids out there. Nebraska, very strong football team. Not a very smart football team, but very strong. Michigan pushed them all around the field a lot of that game when you watch it. The reason why Nebraska almost beat them was a lot of misdirection, a lot of things that were funky that threw Michigan's defense off. Michigan State will have to do the same thing. They are not going to physically push this team. The only team that can physically push around Michigan is Ohio State. I'm telling you, watching all these teams in the conference, Michigan is the second strongest physical team in the conference, by far, in my opinion. And at times, they look more physical than Ohio State, but not fully, because Ohio State's just on a different level. But this is what's going to happen, and this Michigan State team has to mirror Nebraska's offense a lot of ways. Misdirection, maybe a throwback to Walker, get the tight end over the middle involved, you know, throw towards the sideline, maybe get a couple pass interference calls. Michigan still gets handsy at times. The call on DJ Turner last weekend was brutal. I didn't understand that one. But look, this is a situation. Michigan State's offense versus Michigan's defense is going to be the answer to this. It really is. On the other side of the ball, I think Michigan's going to score points. I mean, I don't think Michigan State's defense has seen an offense like Michigan's that has two featured backs with, you know, a couple different things they can bring in with McCarthy, who can run the ball sometimes. I think their wide receiver group is just good enough. Eric Aul is really coming into his own, but they've definitely not seen a running attack clearly as good as Michigan's. And I think Michigan is going to try to bully them and run the ball a lot. I think they're going to see some things with this defense of Michigan State and say, ooh, we can punish them. We can physically punish them up front. I've watched Michigan State all year. I'm not really impressed with their push. Like, I think they get to the quarterback a good amount of times, but as far as, like, Michigan starting off running the ball, I think they're going to run the ball for over 150 yards this game. I really do. Like, I don't even know if that will make them win, but I think their O-line against Michigan State's front seven and the way their tight ends block and the receivers block for Michigan, I think they can run wild on Michigan State. I really do. I mean, watching it, you know, after a bye week as well, I think Michigan comes in and hits them up the middle a few times and for a couple 15-yard-plus gains, Michigan State's going, wow, this running attack is pretty good. If they want to load the box, McNamara is really good at those out routes, and I think that will cause a concern for Michigan State, because if they want to be over-aggressive, I think Michigan will be able to get a couple throws out wide. I also think they'll be able to get a couple wide receiver sweeps and be able to get the edge on Michigan State. And I think Michigan's offense will score 30-plus this week, and I really do. I think that this is very similar to the Nebraska game for Michigan for their offense. They're going to see a lot of similarities up front, and they just have to be better in the red zone. They really do. I mean, they're going to have to figure out putting number 9 in more, whatever it is. But I look at this game, and I see Nebraska written all over it. This is Nebraska part 2 for me. Michigan State, you know, has better athletes in the skill positions on offense than Nebraska does. But as far as physicality and what Nebraska had on defense, Michigan State's the exact same thing, in my opinion. And I think Michigan had a field day on that Nebraska defense. They were able to run and pass. And I think it needs to be Josh Gattis' best play, you know, play called game again. You know, I thought against Nebraska, that was the best game he'd ever called at the University of Michigan. He's going to have to do the same type of stuff against State, mix in the run with the pass, but definitely move them on the ground. You know, you notice the second half a lot. Michigan really, they wore you down a little bit, and they want to run the ball. I think they'll do the same thing against Michigan State. So those are the reasons why I think Michigan could win. Again, they could run for over 150 and dominate the line of scrimmage, and State could still win because of the big play capability. So it's a pretty interesting situation. For Michigan State's side, how they could win, I think it comes down to, do they get a couple big plays and score touchdowns out of them? And does their defense get excited about that and play with their hair on fire and stops the run? And Cade McNamara is still the quarterback. So, you know, I mean, it's very simple. This game does not come down to a whole lot of, you know, crazy things. You know, like people always say, well, it's the crazy plays. Well, the crazy plays, like Trevor with the snap, 2015. You know, that game, Michigan State had a lot of advantages in that game in certain areas. Connor Cook was a much better quarterback than Jake Rudock. I don't care what anybody says. He was able to throw the long ball better. I mean, a couple of those tight throws and tight windows he made were amazing in that game. When they played straight up, Michigan was just as good or better at times. But Michigan State's defense was just so much better than Michigan's offense. And Michigan wasn't really able to do a whole lot. And you look back to that game, it came down to certain matchups. And I think it comes down to that every year. Last year, Michigan State seen, you know what, these guys play press coverage. They're not great corners. They don't have LeVert Hill out there. They don't have Avery Thomas out there. You know, they don't have David Long anymore. I don't think Vincent Gray is that good. They watched something on film, and they felt like this guy's not that good, and they attacked it. And lo and behold, it worked. And you know, this year's different because the scheme's different. I don't think you'll see Michigan get burned over four times deep like they did in that game last year. I think that Michigan's schematics are a whole lot different with Mike McDonald. But, look, they're still a really talented team. It's going to come down to, can they keep Naylor in front of them? Can they keep Jaden Reed in front of them? Can they not just allow these receivers to run wild and get whatever they want? Can they make sure that when Kenneth Walker runs on their base runs, he goes nowhere? It's going to come down to that, and it's matchups. Michigan State's receivers, they're better than Michigan's corners. I mean, that's bottom line. You match up Jaden Reed against any of Michigan's corners, he's going to win that matchup one-on-one, no doubt, in my mind. Jalen Naylor, you know, if he catches the football, he's faster than Michigan's corners. They're going to have to put a multiple different guys covering. That's just how it's going to be. You're going to have linebackers covering in space. You're going to have to throw different things at them where we have two deep safeties like they've been running, and you're not going to just throw it over the top. You're not going to just beat us with those three receivers. You know, we might lock up Mosley one-on-one sometimes, and then we've got, you know, three guys watching Naylor and Reed. You know, so they might do that. Vincent Gray, you can cover Trey Mosley. Michigan State might say, anyone Vincent Gray's covering, we're going after if he's in the game. But DJ Turner and Jamon Green look like they may be the starters, so you got a different ball game now. But this is just a lot of information for all you fans so you can understand this. Like, this is what is going to take place Saturday. DJ Turner, will he be able to be a lockdown corner and make it difficult for those receivers? Will they have enough help where if he gets kind of beat, there's guys waiting for those receivers? You know, those are the big questions. Will Michigan State's O-line play its best game? Will they be able to contain what Michigan has? By the way, last year's offensive line, Michigan State, they won that game. They punished Michigan. They really did. It was shocking for me because I thought that O-line was terrible the week before against Rutgers. They came out in an empty big house, and they pushed Michigan around. You know, they gave Lombardi time. And Michigan was fooled. They're totally fooled. I don't think they had any respect for Lombardi as a passer. And he basically said, hey, you guys are going to give me time. I'm still a Division I quarterback. So give Michigan State's O-line a lot of credit. Because they basically said, we're going to just take the top off early. And we're going to win this way. It was very impressive. And I think you'll see the same thing tried to be done this Saturday, trying to throw it deep. If Michigan stops them multiple times in a row, Michigan State's going to have a hell of a battle because that is really who they are. There is no in-between. Michigan State is a big play offense. They're electric. They want to be electric, and they're going to try to be electric. So, look, Michigan State will win if they have a couple of big plays, and that defense is allowed to really get after the quarterback and look, I'm a big advocate for J.J. McCarthy. I think he changes the whole dynamic. I don't think Cade McNamara is a guy that can win a big game. The Nebraska game, though, look, he really showed me some things about him. Like, okay, this kid has moments where he can look really good. What I have not seen from Cade McNamara, and I think Michigan State people know this as well, is he can't make the tough throw. I mean, he can't make a throw in a tight window. He can't elude defenders with his legs. And that's the other guy. That's J.J. Michigan State would have a hell of a time preparing for Michigan's offense if J.J. was playing. It's just different animal. You're going against a quarterback that can now tuck it and run. You're going against a quarterback that can roll out and throw. Totally different ballgame. And I think Michigan would score 40 with J.J. as a starter. I mean, I just think he's that good. I've said it from day one. Everything I've seen makes me have that same opinion. We're not going to see that. If I will say this as a bonus. If McCarthy plays more than he ever has against anyone this weekend, and if he makes a couple throws, look out. Look out, because I think Jim Harbaugh even has enough enough intelligence up there in that brain of his to realize, wow, when he's out there, we can get whatever we want. We can run our base runs plays. We can RPO with him. You know, he can roll out and throw. Oh, by the way, a couple guys look good deep. Let's run something where we feel like he can get the guy the ball. I mean, it's a wrap. Michigan State, I'm laughing because you guys have no idea what would be coming if J.J. McCarthy was actually the starter. Like, I guess that will come next year because I don't have faith in Gattis and Harbaugh making that move together and saying, look, man, it's obvious. He's the more talented kid. He's a better passer, too. It's not like he's a bad passer. He's got a great arm. He has pretty good accuracy. The few throws he's missed, you know, they were simple things, a little too high on the pass, right? But it doesn't happen very often. I think it's happened once or twice. That is something that must be noted. Does J.J. McCarthy actually get a chance to play more? Was this the game they were waiting for it. We're getting him ready. Like, what if the first drive Michigan comes out and J.J. McCarthy's out there? Can you imagine, like, I think the Spartan crowd, they'll be loud and ruckus. I think the first throw he makes, it will be silent as hell. They'll be like, oh my God, that is not going to be fun. And if they leave him in, they leave him in for a whole drive, and he scores, oh, it's a wrap, boys. It's a wrap. Because I think even Jim Harbaugh and Josh Gattis will say, look at what he just did. I mean, he just went right down the field. He ran the ball twice. He threw the ball three times. We got to run our regular sets, and there was just holes galore because everyone was worried about nine. What are we doing? You know, like, let's just, hey, let's throw Cade out there for a few plays, and let's reverse it. Let's make JJ the starter and let Cade come in for a few plays here and there. I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, seriously, if you're a Michigan fan listening to this, what is wrong with reversing it and saying, let's play J.J. McCarthy as the starter sometimes, or he leads the possession, and yeah, if we don't feel comfortable with that one play, let's just have Cade come in for that play. I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, I don't see it being an issue. Now, look, Nebraska fans were loud. There was issues with calls. You could say that could be a concern, but they were clapping, which was hilarious. Kudos to, you know, Scott Frost and that team for doing the clapping. That was hilarious, by the way. Jim Harbaugh was furious. But let's just be honest. J.J. McCarthy could go out there and run the same base stuff that Cade's doing and run it the same way. Just run the ball. We're going to run, hey, pound it inside, pound the rock. We're pulling guys. Hey, if they do bring the end in, you know, tuck it and run the outside, get 5-6 yards. McCarthy's ability to run is really good. So it's like he can run their base runs, but those RPO reads he's good at, and he can run way better than Cade can, obviously. But the point of all that is, why not let him dictate the offense for a full possession? And then, like I said, if you have to bring in Cade for a certain player, you want to, hey, JJ, come over here. Let's talk about this. Hey, what are you seeing? Like, hey, man, I think we can take the top off. They're sucking in on these runs, quick play action, and over the top to the tight end or double move wide receiver, you know, if we get enough time. Yeah, let's do it. And also, you know, he can escape. So if they do a quick play action, they try to double move, and, you know, he makes one guy miss, he can still make that throw. Those are things that he brings, and I just get so frustrated because I know he can bring it. I know he can't, but we're not seeing practice. There might be some interceptions in practice. I don't know. You know, we don't know. All I know is when he's in the game, it changes the game. So we'll see what happens. Look, that's a little tidbit today. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, man. I'm going back on the lab with Brent Tuthill. We're going to talk Michigan football only and what they can do to beat Michigan State. But this is a little amp up. We got a lot of things to cover this week. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about Michigan State a ton this week, probably more than we ever have on any of our shows. So tune in. Life and Ball Podcast, we'll post this on Trouble with the Snap to get you guys ramped up. Thanks for listening. This is Jay File. Tyler Hayward will be on at 4:30 with Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Can't wait. So thanks for listening in on the lab.